Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, family. It is a overcast filled, kind of, sort of damp, little wet, not really. It's a fucked up Saturday. Let's make it plain. It is the first Saturday of summer, quote unquote, official summer, and it is dreary outside, very much so. But that doesn't dampen the attitude inside where we are enjoying our thing. Rashi is actually in Africa for this week, at least. She took her son over to be a participant in the matrimonial celebration that his father is about to embark upon. So that's where she is. So you have me. I actually have a tier gig in about an hour, so I'm a rock out for about an hour and get the stepping, because I need to get my ass to Virginia to partake. My good friend Michelle, we were stationed in the UK together. She has a nonprofit that feeds the homeless, and I've been telling Michelle for the longest time that I was going to come through and participate, and I have not been around usually when she is doing it. So I'm getting my ass up and out to make sure that I not only support her with the money, because we do contribute to her efforts, but also contribute to the efforts with some sweat labor, or I should say sweat equity. So we're going to do that. Now, this week, I don't know what I want to talk about. I don't know where I want to go. You know, it's been it's really been one of those weeks, man. We carry the mantra, and you've heard me echo this several times. You know, being an adult fucking sucks, and this has just been one of those weeks where it's you know, it started off Father's Day. Father's Day was fun, great day. I had to work that day. I'm fine with that. That's no biggie. you know, it was just a hellacious day at work. It was, I was understaffed. It was hot as hell. It was very draining, and never really recovered through that. From that, I'm sorry, throughout the week. But you know, such is life. You know, you push on, and you go on to the next thing. So here we come into the week, and in Pittsburgh, another young man was shot, Antoine Rose, shot and killed while evading capture by the police. Now, we often fall to things within the confines of our country. But if you didn't do this, this wouldn't happen to you. And that's echoed again from later on in the week when the children whom are being separated from their parents at the border became a huge uproar. And what we tend to forget is there's a rich history of justice not for some. The weight of the justice system being applied fully against some, the reasonable doubt rule or guidance of law not being applicable to some, and the some are those whom tend to be victims of those charged with protecting the whole. Bad behavior is bad behavior. There's no excuse for bad behavior. There's a place for folks whom exhibit bad behavior. We put them through our judicial system. We judge them in accordance with our laws, and we sentence them in accordance to whatever the judgment is. The issue comes into play when some folks turn into judge, jury, and executioner. The issue comes into play when folk are going about their everyday business with no intention of harming nor being harmed by anyone, and yet there's still a funeral at the end of that because they are a perceived threat, because our society has yet to reconcile with the fact that there's a huge sect of our populace that is disenfranchised consistently, strictly due to what they look like. This does not excuse bad behavior. Let me be clear. If you did something wrong, I don't give a damn what your name is. I don't give a damn where you're from. The law is the law, and it needs to be applied to you just like it's applied to everyone else. However, we also need to factor in the reality of the conditions of living in America. Conditions of living in America makes it very difficult for people with pigmentation to get treated fairly under the law. It's not a supposition on my part. It's not a wild-haired, bright-eyed, bushy-tailed conclusion on my part. This is the reality of the justice system here in America. This is the reality of the conditioning of the average American citizen here in America. This is the thing that wrings my heart as a veteran. Now, this week, too. No, it's not true. Last week. It was last week. I'm sorry. Last week. And I think I spoke on this last Saturday, but last week I messed around and joined the DAV And I'm sitting in that meeting, and there we are, we veterans, and there it is, Old Glory, the flag. And we're standing up and pledging allegiance and saluting, doing all these things. And that conflict in me still rages to this day. And I bring that up because I was talking to my doctor yesterday, and I was sharing with him the story of two of my commanders, one in Alabama, one in Korea, who said to me directly this: if I put as much effort into not wanting to fall into military character as I did actually falling into it, I would have eclipsed the stars. What is eclipse? And they really didn't understand why I was in the military or what they were going to do with me while I was there, because they could clearly see it wasn't where I wanted to be. And it wasn't that it wasn't where I wanted to be. It was that I recognized that conflict almost from the onslaught, and trying to deal with that, trying to piece that, trying to parcel that, trying to string that together with the commitment that I made to be dutiful, to be of service, to protect my country against enemies both foreign and domestic, was very heavy. I carried that very much on my shoulders because I saw the hypocrisy from the policies of our commander-in-chief on down. And in those things, I didn't understand. I couldn't reconcile how I could be so much a part of the one and still fight for the other. I didn't understand. And that really hampered my progression with the military, without a doubt. Without a doubt. And I was okay with that because I wasn't there for that. And I resolved to that very early on. I wasn't there for that. I was there for my reasons. And my reasons were my reasons. So as long as I got out of it what I wanted / what I needed, I was fine with it. But then it got to a point where I was not fine with it. And that was around the time that I got sick. And that's why I got out. And again, I was cool with that. It didn't bother me. It didn't devastate me. I wasn't one that was really sweating what I was going to do when I got out. I'm not going to front. I had a brief fear flight situation with, you know, dog. What, you know, seriously, because of my illness, my training and my illness were a clash. So I was like, well, damn, what the hell am I going to do when I get out? Like, this isn't cool. I need to figure out something. Blah, 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 blah. And that's really how I got into what I do now. Because on my way out, I had to turn in some equipment. And in that process, I asked the guy to teach me how to drive a forklift. And believe it or not, that was the opening to my career path right now. So, but Nas's album came out this weekend, and all this shit ties into play, so please walk with me. Nas's album came out this weekend. I didn't download it. It actually came out last Friday. I didn't download it. I said that last week. I was like, y'all, I was meaning to download it, and I didn't. And I was regretful for that because I was really looking forward to listening to it. From the reviews, and I still haven't downloaded it. I need to get on top of that, but it's been a busy ass week. From the reviews that I have read, it wasn't up to expectations at all. However, I'm listening to Rothabell's radio the other day, and one of the signals from it, it's called Cop Shot the Kid, and it's sampled Slick Rick's children's fairy tales, and it's hot as shit. I ain't even gonna front. And yo, Yeezy, oh man, Kanye, did his thing on that. I ain't even gonna lie. He did. He really did his thing on that. But it's old school Nas. It's a very timely message. It's a very well crafted song. And after what happened in Pittsburgh this week, it was just perfect timing. I mean, really perfect timing. And I'm stuttering because I'm listening to it in my head as I'm talking, and I'm thinking about how powerful a message there is in that song. I'm thinking about how powerful the messengers in that song are. I'm thinking about how, unfortunately, we're having to listen to the same message time and time again, and we're in 2018, damn near 2019, and nothing's changed. Nothing has changed, man. Nothing has changed. Nothing has changed for the masses of folks. Nothing. Nothing. Some folks have it better than others. That was a natural cause and effect. You have more people. You have more of an opportunity for some people to get more than those left out. But some of us are very fortunate. Some of us are very blessed. Some of us are very fortunate. Some of us are very blessed. But there are a lot of us who have not crossed over yet, who have not seen the light. I'm talking to my brother, and we're talking about a trip that we need to take. And I'm like, dude, we need to go, man. It's been a minute. We need to do a boys trip. You know, we usually do it once a year, if not every other year, and it's been more than every other year, because Daryl graduated. Listen, Daryl retired 2 years ago, so it's almost 3 years now. Like, yo, we need to make a move. We need to do something. And he was like, yeah. I was like, you know, I'm sick of traveling and being one of the only male black people in the airport. One of the few. A lot of women went to the airport. A lot of white females went to the airport. A lot of white males went to the airport. Not a lot of black males at all. At all. You know, I was like, dude, we gotta keep this thing going, man. We gotta show these young cats what life is about. You know, we can't be so focused on making a living that we forget to live. Come on, dude. And he was like, you're right. So I got on the horn, called my other brothers, and, you know, like, yo, we need to make a move. And it doesn't have to be international. You know, collectively, we've done so much international traveling that that's just not high for us right now. You know, and that's cool. We are going to Panama. Not in the immediate, but soon, very soon, we'll be going to Panama. And some other places. But, yeah, my niece, she trips me out all the time because I'm like, tell them where you're from, baby. She's like, I'm Guam. Because she was born in Guam. You know, I come from a military family. So my niece is born in Guam. The niece and the nephew, they were born here. I have a nephew who was born in Japan. I have two nieces that were born in Japan. You know what I'm saying? Like, I come on, dude. You know, actually three. Yeah, three. Three nieces born in Japan. So, yeah, I'm to make some moves. We still need to behave like a family and come together and do some things. And again, not show off. It's not about doing that. It's about showing others that there's a path to something better. And you can walk that path just like I did. And if you want to tag along, come on. More than marrying. That's how we get down. But continuing on with the week. We'll get with Cohen at the end because the judge in his case made a very, very interesting ruling. If you are pro justice, if you will, and anti-Trump. It's a very interesting ruling. Yeah, we'll get to that. Children at the border. So the press pool are waiting for the daily briefing in the White House. This is Wednesday, I believe. And all of a sudden, everyone starts getting a notification from Twitter about the children being detained at the border. And you know, everyone grabs their phones and starts listening. It's a unified sound. These children crying at the border, begging to be reunited with their parents, begging for someone to assist them by uniting them with a family member that is here legally, begging for understanding of where their parents are. And this has been characterized as the concentration camps for the Japanese Americans during World War II. This has been characterized in comparison to the concentration camps of World War II for the Jews in Germany. This has been characterized as slave auctions and how mothers and children, or mothers and fathers, or and children, or whomever, were sold in totally different directions. This has been characterized as the worst thing that ever has happened in American recent history. There's been a lot of characterization about this situation. There's been very little action about the situation. Now, President Trump was holding, in my opinion, and I agree with some pundits that I listened to throughout the week. I'm sorry, y'all. My eyes are killing me, and I didn't take my damn allergy medication. So if you hear that scratching and itching, that's just me rubbing on my eyes. I apologize. Once we get done, I can pop my medication, but I can't do it while we're doing our thing. But anyhow, President Trump has been holding the status of these families over the head of lawmakers, and I think he was using it as a bargaining chip trying to get funding for the wall. Now, I don't know about you. I'm not comfortable with that. I'm not comfortable with that at all. How do you, as a grown-ass man, children, and say, in effect, excuse me, the other grown-up won't do what I want them to do, so I'm going to make you all a bargaining chip in my negotiations with them. So, you know, suck it up, and once we work it out, you'll be okay. You're young. You'll get over it. Because that's in essence what the hell he just said, right? That's in essence what the hell he just said. And folks are talking about, you know, Sessions is on the television, HSS is on the television, Homeland is on the television. I mean, everybody, if you don't break the law, it won't happen. The law, it won't happen. See, just go back to what I said about 5 minutes ago. We like to break things down in the simplest terms, not factoring in the social, economical factors of our nation's history. So breaking the law is coming into the country illegally. Totally understand that. Totally understand that. That is an illegal act. But you don't need to separate a parent from a child just because they chose to come into the country illegally. You don't need to do that. That part, you're overstepping. You're becoming a habitual line crosser, like Charlie Murphy says on Dave Chappelle. You know, and that's what you're doing. You're overstepping your boundaries. Come on, dude. Is that really necessary to separate a mother or a father from their infant child just because they decided to come in the country illegally. Nah. Nah. So you want to use it as a deterrent. We use the death penalty as a deterrent. Have people stopped killing people? I just want to know, because if they did, then, you know, Chicago shouldn't be going through what it's going through. New Orleans shouldn't be going through what it's going through. Kansas City shouldn't be going through what it's going through. Baltimore shouldn't be going through what it's going through. Memphis shouldn't be going through what it's going through. Houston shouldn't be. I'm just trying to understand. The terrorists tend not to work when people are desperate. Why are people desperate? Because we cut off the money to help them not be desperate. Why we cut off the money? Because the puppet governments that we help to establish and or some form of fashion, help put in play, have turned their nose on us, took the money that we had been giving them, turned it over to the cartels and or kept it for them themselves as just a kicker, and said, you know, screw you. What you going to do? We keep our nose out of other people's business, we don't have as many problems. We keep sticking our nose into other people's business, we got a lot of bigger problems. In cases that is not true, then we just cut off aid. And you cut off aid to a struggling country who is ravaged by the drug trade, corrupt government, famine for weather conditions or whatever, because global warming is real. And where else are they going to go? What else are they going to do? You think jail is going to stop? I'm watching Vice last night. This one Hispanic gentleman, everyone is not a Mexican, by the way. Let's stop that bullshit. Because Mexico's GDP is growing quite nicely, so much so that the net immigration, illegal and or otherwise, from Mexico has been zero for years. For years, it's been zero. We're actually losing more folks returning back to Mexico than we're gaining from Mexico. So let's stop that bullshit. But a one Hispanic gentleman, just last night, as I was watching Vice, had come into the country legally twice. Why? His daughter has, so he is the breadwinner. Mom has to be home to make sure that she's taken care of. So he goes out there and he works his ass off in order to take care of his kid. That's what that's about. That's what that's about. What dad wouldn't do that for their children? Now, he potentially is going to be deported and banned for 20 years, or you go to jail for a stint. How do you not make that game? How do you understand people saying, well, I'm going to sit at home and just let this happen because if I try to do something, then I could be caught and that wouldn't be the thing to do. What father would you respect to do that? Yeah, exactly. And this is why this man came twice. His wife, illegal. All their children, all legal. They were all born here. His wife is illegal. Will they deport the wife and leave the children? They may. There was a young lady in, I want to say Texas? No, that's not true. In New Mexico. Young lady in New Mexico who is working hand in hand with illegal immigrants. She immigrated into the country years ago and has turned into a helping hand for those trying to come over. She had over 1,200 children signed over to her as their legal guardian. Why? Because their parents feared deportation. And if they got deported, what they didn't want for their children were their children to be split up. So they signed over to her the legal guardianship of their children so that if they did get deported, she would take care of them and in some form or fashion, some manner, be able to guide them to a home or a situation, whatever the situation is, that they would still be together. 1,200 kids, one woman. 1,200 children, one woman. Let me tell y'all something. I do some dumbass shit. I've done some dumbass shit. I will continue to do some dumbass shit because I'm still a guy. But there is nothing in this world, in my opinion, more wonderful than a woman. Oh, my goodness. There's nothing. Nothing in this world more wonderful, in my opinion, than a woman. Oh, man. Whew. 1,200 kids, one woman. She's married, but it's her on that front line. It's her in that grocery store buying groceries for families of those whom are so afraid to go outside that they don't want to go to the grocery store. Tough. One woman. 1,200 kids. So where are we at? So the orange one on Thursday signs a reversal of his executive order about separating families. Right? That's what he did Thursday. But what does it mean? No one's understood in full as of yet. As of yet, no one's understanding in full. No one. It was so vague. Folks are still scrambling. Requests are still coming in from additional beds. During the budgetary process, additional money was requested for detention centers. So these jokers knew this shit was going to happen. They knew this was going to happen. The Navy's out here looking at space on military facilities to house these folks. They knew this shit was going to happen. They knew what they were going to do. They lined the budget with money for private prison facility space. They knew it was coming. You don't think that's a you wash my back, I wash your back type situation? You don't think somewhere along the line Trump is getting a kickback for this? Somewhere along the line. Some shell company that somebody set up that he's in ownership of in some form or fashion is getting a slice of this pie. Or one of his cronies getting a slice of the pie. You don't think that's happening? Come on, y'all. Come on. That's just about as bad as the announcement that ABC is rolling with the Conners. So Roseanne is done. We all know that. But the spinoff, the Conners, will continue and go forward. Same show minus Roseanne. You think they're going to let that gravy train stop? Those sponsors, all that money, you think they were going to leave that on the table? Just because she said some racist ass shit? No, I don't think that's going to happen. I don't think it's going to happen, dude. Where are we? We are in America. Let's be real about where we are and who we are. Let's be real. If it don't make money, it don't make sense. That is the end all be all with that. If it don't make money, it don't make sense. And that thing there was making way too much money for these jokers to be like, yeah, you know, we just gonna let this whole thing slide, you know, hey. We had a good little run. Just wasn't working. Nah. That pot was too sweet. Pot was too sweet. Can't turn that pot off. Can't turn that pot away. What's wrong with you? So, here this thing comes. I don't know where we're going. I cannot wait for the midterms to come and be over. Trump sends a tweet just yesterday. I don't know why the Republicans are wasting their time trying to work on a piece of immigration legislation that's not going anywhere. It's not going to do anything. What? Really? So now, what do? You have political cover because the President of the United States just said he's not going to sign off on your bills. So why fight the fight? Why even bring it up for a vote? Paul Ryan in there working, swinging, doing his thing. Doing his thing, trying to make something make sense. Trying to bring this whole thing together. You know, they originally had a vote scheduled for Thursday. Didn't happen. Okay, cool. We'll push that. Didn't happen. Now, will the vote ever come up on the floor? Don't know. So now we have all these young folk and older folk living in fear. Still. Constantly. Perpetually. Because of the egomaniac. Who was given the worst legislation ever. Really? The worst legislation. You just don't understand. We were given a mess. A mess. Really? You were given a mess. Yep, you were given a mess. You were given an economy that was on the uptick no matter what. You were given immigration policy that everyone did not agree with. No. Immigration policy that skirted the law, yes. But it wasn't the worst. It wasn't the worst. It was something. What are we going to do? How are we going to fix this? I challenge you all. I challenge you all. As I do every year. Because pretty much there's an election every year. Get your ass out and vote. Please vote. Take people with you. Have them hold you accountable while you hold them accountable. Vote. Please vote. Elections have consequences. We need to make a change. We need to make a change. We so do. We so do. So it was ruled, and I said I was going to do this. It was ruled that only 6 conversations were out of all that information they had, less than 10. Less than 10 are going to be held out as attorney-client privilege. That's it. That is a major win for the Southern District of New York. That is a major win for the Mueller investigation. I think Donald Trump already got a pardon pre-printed for Cohen. But if they don't hit him with Fed charges, doesn't matter. If they don't hit him with Fed charges, doesn't matter. Another reason Mueller passed this thing off. He saw it. He knew it. He knew if he took that boy to federal court, the only thing that would happen would be that Trump would pardon him. He had no chance of getting this kid to cooperate. None. None whatsoever. Now he can swoop in and say, you give me a little sauce. I can talk to my boys here. it lightened the load up on you a little bit. What you think about that? What you think about that, young fella? He can come at him like that now. Couldn't do it if he was taking the Fed court. But, yeah, he can come at him. They say that I was born during the wrong time. Never saw anything like this in my lifetime until now. Even Clinton or Monica Lewinsky wasn't this bad. It wasn't this bad. It was bad, but it wasn't this bad. The level of corruption, the level of bullshit is at a totally different, on a totally different scale. Family, I seriously, y'all, I mean, I really didn't know where to go with today. My soul was so disturbed by this week's events that it made it hard and to really put it together, to really express it the way I was feeling it. And I hope I did pretty good of a job. You know, as I said, I didn't have a lot for today because I have this volunteer work to do. I wanted to do about an hour, and I've done that. You know, it's going to be about 45 minutes when all is said and done. I want to, before leaving, say that appreciate you all's feedback on the show, be it your listenings and or your direct messages or your text messages or your comments on Facebook or Twitter or whatever. You just coming through. Appreciate you. We'll be back next week with hopefully Rashi, if not some other folk. We'll get back in the saddle quickly. But as for this week, I'm going to bring it to an end because sometimes you don't always need to pick at a scab. Sometimes you just need to let some sunlight hit it and let it heal on its own. You know what I'm saying? So until next week, you all be good. You all be safe. Thank you for listening, be it live or later. We will be back again next Saturday, same time, 11 a.m., 1 p.m., hopefully. You all be good. You all be safe.